We are live in 3, 2, and 1. Do you want to do an intro since this is our first one?
Yeah, I can do the intro. Welcome to the GG Voxcast. I am your host, Guy, with your other host.
And my name is Gabe, and welcome to the GG Voxcast, the only podcast that talks about 40K that's brave enough to tell you that Chaos Knights are for losers.
That's starting off really strong. I appreciate it. We are starting off a primarily book-focused podcast. So we'll be discussing books that we read each episode, but we're also going to be taking a look at the balance changes in the 40K game setting. Talking about general lore. We're not only going to be talking about the books, we'll kind of be talking about whatever's going on currently.
So, I understand that we were supposed to read Helbrecht. I did, right? I just finished it. And I was very, very surprised with how good it was. But I also want to talk about a little bit of the Thousand Suns, the new update. I played a couple games. I have a couple under my belt and a couple lists. I do want to talk about those. In addition, with some Necron nerfs.
For sure, for sure. We'll definitely talk about the balance changes. We'll talk about the Chaos Knights rules that just leaked. Not all of them. We're not like Outside Tactics or anything. But just a couple mentions there. And then, of course, we'll talk about the Thousand Suns new codex as well. Let's start off with Helbrecht, which was, I agree with you, we were speaking before we started recording. It was kind of boring for the first half, quote unquote boring. Like your lizard brain just wasn't super activated for the first half of the book. There wasn't really any action going on, but it's a small book, and I think that's actually kind of emblematic to the arc of the story. And I don't think it's a bad thing that it's not all gas the whole time. Because if it was, it would be just as boring if it was just hacking and slashing the entire book cover to cover.
I mean, like, yeah, you got to set it up, obviously, right? And I think, hey, can we talk about Gilliman? Can we just talk about him just showing up?
Okay, yeah. So obviously, spoilers. Gilliman shows up in the first, like, two pages, but literally the first page. But this is going to be full spoilers, of course. We're going to be completely transparent with what goes on in the story. So if you haven't read it yet or you are trying to read this book, you might want to stop now and come back once you're done.
Gilliman showing up was probably the only thing that kept me interested in the first couple chapters. I'll be honest, I really considered stop reading it because of how boring it is. But a lot of the 40K books kind of start off so. Even Horus Heresy, Horus Rising, Galaxy in Flames, you know, and so on, start off pretty slow. But the way Helbrecht started off was more of like a personal reflection on him as his character developing as a whole, right? And he's on this personal vendetta all the time, as Black Templars are. I mean, you're a Black Templar player, so you would know, right, just based off of the lore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he only cares about, and they say it probably like 12 or 13 times in the book, you know, blood and fire. Like, it's all about going through and eliminating anyone who doesn't fall within the Imperial mandate. But with Gilliman, it really poses the main theme, one of the two, in my opinion, main themes of the whole book, which is duty versus honor. And remembering that duty consists of things that are honorable, and by completing your duty, you will be given honor. You know, he was obsessed with chasing down Ghazghul Thraka from Armageddon, the beast. He wanted to finally wipe them out, quote unquote, once and for all. Even though anybody who's familiar with the fungus-based orcs knows that is, you know, pretty much impossible. And then also, without doubt, there is no faith. So it was a whole thing about his faith in the Emperor, the will of the Emperor, and that's something that every Black Templar has to go through, which is, you know, they get to the planet, they get to this ruin world that's pretty much, you know, empty, except all of these scavengers and pilgrims everywhere. And he's like, what am I doing here? Like, we're supposed to be finding, like, a relic, we think. We saw in a dream that there would be a relic of Dorne here. You know, it doesn't really seem like we're here for a point. And you, as the reader, you're like, man, this is kind of boring. They've just been talking and walking since Gilliman showed up for about, like, 10 chapters. And then finally it picks up and it's like, oh, we actually should come here. There's a very good reason why we came to this planet. And that's because it was taken over by chaos, because we left it in a state of ruin. And we learned that, you know, maybe leaving planets in a state of ruin or ruin worlds isn't the best solution. You know, even though Dorne came up with it, it wasn't for the best.
We were just talking about that last night when we were playing Darktide. I understand the answer you gave me about ruin worlds, and you specifically use Wogoldorn to give an example. right? But before we talk about that, can we just talk about the fact that Gilliman would never say what he said to Helbrick to Wogoldorn's face?
He told me
he was a failure. It was beautiful.
He was telling Helbrecht the story of Dorne failing because he did not follow his duty, which was protecting the Emperor. Dorne failed when Horus struck down the Emperor, and he snapped his sword over his knee, shattering it into the shards that would later be turned into the black swords given to the Emperor's champion. In this book, it was Bolheim. But he was telling him that story because he was showing him, hey, you know, you are, if you choose right now to go off and chase down the orcs, you are failing the Imperium. You are failing the regent of the Empire, me, the son of the Emperor, and therefore the will of the Emperor. Tell him, you know, you're going to be pissed when you look back and realize after you killed the orcs and you see all these planets that were taken over by chaos, etc. Yeah. When I told you so, you're going to see that I told you so. And he goes, all right, you know, I'm not really interested in what you're saying, but I'll take it into consideration. Then him and Bolheim have a vision. They go to a planet that casts doubt on, you know, what they're doing, what they think they should be doing, which is glory and conquest. And then it actually turns out, even though the planet was kind of boring, there was still some blood and conquest to be had. Plenty.
There definitely was. But, I mean, isn't that the perfect foil or the perfect match? The Black Templars, I see, is this faction within the Astartes that just bounce around from enemy to enemy. It doesn't matter if it's Xenos or if it's Heretic or if it's anything, right? Or even maybe a traitor legion or something. But I see them as this pinball bouncing from side to side, planet to planet, fight to fight, all over the galaxy, just like the orcs, you know? And I see it as this perfect counter to both the orcs, and I understand why Helbrick wants to focus the orcs. I mean, they're exactly the same in a lot of ways. But then again, that's why Gilliman had to show up and tell him, listen, you need an objective, or you're just going to be straight up a rogue Astartes chapter, which in a way they are, you know, in a lot of ways they act like a rogue Astartes
there are plenty of rogue Astartes chapters out there, but they are non-compliant at best. They still act within the interest of the Imperium.
Yeah. The Black Templars also, you know, just less so in a lot of ways. They're not the most like shining example, but they're still awesome. I'm not dissing the Black Templars.
Sure. Well, this is the third Black Templar book that I've read so far. Ooh. And the first one was Hell's Reach, of course, which is the required reading for pretty much any 40K fan. And then it was Broken Crusade, which is a newer book. And in Hell's Reach, it is Black Templars versus Orcs. In Broken Crusade, it is Black Templars versus World Leaders, which is why my second army is World Leaders, because even though that book wasn't perfect, I really enjoyed it. But both of those enemies, they're not the same, but they kind of match the energy of the Black Templars. In this book, going up against chaos cultists run by Iron Warriors was really, really interesting. The Iron Warriors are, you know, classic rivals with the Imperial Fists, the founding chapter of the Black Templars. So there's a lot of bad blood between them, which just makes for good, easy storytelling. And then the characters themselves are pretty cool. When I'm used to the enemy always being like a charge head first and, you know, melee to melee with each other. Not that there wasn't plenty of melee in this book. The Iron Warriors set their trap. They did things in the Iron Warrior way of fortification and planning and, you know, using strategic advantages, which is great at going against the Black Templars, because Black Templars, and they said it in the book, there's a vow in the rules for their army detachment, their army rule, called accept the challenge no matter the odds. And that's what they always do, is even though the Iron Warriors kind of had this set from the get-go, the Black Templars were like, fuck it. Let's get in there. Let's smash some faces. Let's cut some dudes in half. Let's roll some heads. And I loved it. I thought it was great. I was hesitant at first. I was like, I like the Black Templars, so I'm going to give it a chance. But I'm glad we stuck through and finished it. It was really short. So it's just a small hump of kind of a slow beginning.
Grade A virgin response, but I respect it.
Oh my God, bro. Okay, what's your response?
No, it was a good response. I just, I love Warhammer, right? But the second I get too deep talking about the lore, and especially with my personal factions, I can't help but to think I'm a huge fucking dork, you know? But...
Oh, man, that's like the whole point.
No, dude, I totally get it. I totally get it.
Typical Thousand Sons Necron player. Can't accept himself for who he is. Just an old-ass robot husk or literal dust. But
yeah.
You do realize this is like the bottom of the iceberg for dorky stuff you can be into.
Hell yeah, I'm here at the final level. We're here to win. I'm here to become the most untalkable human being on the planet, and that's why
untalkable,
you should only watch the 40K podcast like ours. All right, stop talking to people and watch our podcast.
Oh my God. So what did you think about the book besides that it was boring in the beginning? Like, did you enjoy the rise of the neophyte into an initiate, the Emperor's Champion kind of just being a flat character throughout the entire thing?
I mean, they're Astartes. Most of them are going to be flat characters because their whole personality is duty and honor, right? But that's not a bad thing. That's really not a bad thing. My favorite part actually was most of the dialogue towards the end of the book, especially with Helbrecht speaking about the main antagonist of the story is the Iron Warriors. And it's so cool seeing the Iron Warriors in a book, right? Because I hear about them. I never see a whole lot of models about them. I never see really anyone painting them or anyone running them. And it's really awesome to just see that they're talked about and to see that they're out there. I really did enjoy a lot of the violence because I'm a smooth brain, right? Like at the beginning of chapter 10, at the moment when he starts cutting people in half, and I forget who the author is, but the way he described these last breaths of this heretic that Helbrecht is just...
Mark Collins, yeah. They had some really good description there. The writing and the voice acting was great.
Right? It was true. Oh, actually, there was... I think one of the neophytes was cracking me up. I couldn't stop laughing with the audiobook with the way he was voicing them. He made a lot of these very intimidating figures that were heretics, right? Iron Warriors sound like nerdy and frail, but that's just me. That's just me.
They're like 7,000 years old, 8,000 years old. They're like not even, he was describing him and he didn't even like, come off as a human. You couldn't pass as a human.
Yeah,
at that point.
He came off as this, like, body mutated.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Okay, so Iron Warriors just had a huge release on 30K. I guess you haven't been paying attention, but the whole Saturnine box is salamanders and...
Yes.
Oh, no, it's salamanders and... Who is it?
The Saturnine Terminators and the Saturnine Dreadnought look, ooh, so sexy. I love them.
But the when the game launched, it was like Imperial Fists, and I think it might have been Sons of Horus, and then this one is Iron Warriors versus Salamanders, which seems kind of strange that they would be separated like that, but if we're talking about the Drop Site Massacre on Isfahan, it tracks. So, okay, the book was good. I'm happy that it turned out to be good, like all Black Templar books just naturally are. crazy, moving on, do you want to go into Chaos Knights first, or do you want to go into Thousand Suns?
Can we talk about the fact that that Helbrecht was essentially cursed at the very end, saying... I forgot who told him. It was one of his fellow Astarte brothers. It was Grimaldus. He told him, isn't Wogeldorn going to curse you for making this world a non-ruined world?
Oh, no, that wasn't Grimaldus. That was, I think that was either the neophyte or the chaplain that was.
What do you think? What do you think? I think that's foreshadowing. I think they're obviously going to bring Wogeldorn back as a Primarch in the models. Let's be real. It's going to happen
in 2 years. If you remember, what he immediately responded with was, well, look what happened when it was a ruin world. It went from an Imperial Fist stronghold that turned into a ruin world, and it was infiltrated and taken over by our mortal... enemy, our arch enemy, the Iron Warriors. Like, that's worst case scenario. Yeah. So I think Wogeldorn would have had to admit that it was wrong, but Helbrecht is probably one of the only people who would have the balls to tell him.
Oof.
He straight up told Rebrute Gilliman, he's like, no, I don't really it's like, I don't really care what you're saying to me right now. Like, I'm gonna go kill those orcs.
Sounds lame. He's like,
but wait, your father also didn't care until he really cared and broke his sword over his knee.
And after that, he vowed to become a new model.
Do you want the emperor to die by not caring? You think it's cool to not care? To not give a fuck? Well, guess what? It isn't cool.
I became a fan of the Black Templars after reading this. I do like them.
I
gave you so much shit for Black Templars, I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, I know.
they are hyper religious though in the way they speak. They also pray to the Emperor. It's flipping rad.
Yes. They're straight up are like, God, please drive my sword betwixt this guy's nuts. And
those were some of my favorite parts too. kneeling and praying to the emperor,
and they find the piece of Wogeldorn's armor and they all drop to their knees. Cool. It's like, okay, this is like a cool, like Knights of the Grail type shit. It's pretty cool in the set. I mean, it fits in.
It is. Did you read the epilogue or did you listen to it?
I believe so.
That where he tells that old man, like, hey, your new duty is to rule, but make sure there's no heretics. Goodbye.
Yeah. Well, he did a pretty bad job in the first place.
Why, you think he's going to do a better job now? No.
I don't think he was there from the beginning. I'm pretty sure he was just the leader of the pilgrims. That's the part about audiobooks I don't like, is that it's hard to go back and like recheck.
I think we should physically read, because I don't know.
Audiobooks are different so far.
Yeah.
But yes, so Hell's Reach is really, really good. If you haven't read it, you definitely should. What book should we read next? That's the question.
You already said it. You called me right after work when I got off my little baby.
What? Infinite the Divine?
Yeah, we can do that. We can totally do that.
Was there another one you wanted to do? I can't remember.
Infinite and the Divine, I've read half of it, right? Because I have the physical, and it's more of a comedy, but it does show you not how the Triarch personally works, which is like It shows you how the immediate council of some of the awakened Necron tomb worlds does operate, which is kind of cool, but it's mostly just Orican and Trazen in a courtroom fighting. Right.
Okay. And well, I picked Helbrecht. So you get to pick the next one, whether that's Infinite Divine or something else. It's totally up to you. We can read about the Imperial Fists. Feast of Filth.
Cool.
I'm just kidding. I don't want to read about that. It's been retconned, asshole.
It got retconned? Why?
Yeah, because some dumbass writer said all the Imperial Fists get in a chamber and eat a bunch of poison and poop to test their new organs. It's ridiculous. That's why there's a meme the from Superbad. Where a word bearer is talking shit to like a Black Templar and Imperial Fist. He's like, okay, whatever, shit eater. And the Imperial Fist, Jonah Hill, is like, that was retconned, asshole.
That's pretty good.
And then the word bearer is like, people don't forget. It still happened.
I guess as a Necron player, we're all retconned, no matter what. Everything about Necrons is constantly retconned.
We could read a Tau book. You want to read a Tau book?
Dude, I would 100% read a Tau book. Tau is awesome. I think Tau is cool. I would 100% read a Tau book.
I thought you thought Tau were bad.
They were dumb. They're fun to make fun of, right? Like a dreadnought of the Imperium is as old as that entire race's civilization. You know, it's going to be a fun read to see how naive the Tau are. I know the Tau have tried diplomatically trying to trade with the Necrons. That didn't work. They tried setting up trade and relationships with the Tyranids. That didn't work. But you see a Tyranid, you see a Carnifex, and you walk up to it with an emissary, and you're like, hey, I think a really good idea is to set up some sort of trade network between us and maybe co-inhabit a lot of these planets. What do you think that Tyran is going to do? I would love to read a Tau book. These people are naive.
Okay. There's, looks like there's quite a few people talking about good Tau books out there. So, if anybody who happens to be foolish enough to be listening to us still, let us know if there is a book that you've read that, you think we should, moving on, let's go to the Chaos Knights update.
Oh my god.
It looks like Chaos Knights got nerfed to Oblivion.
Good.
I'm on the Auspex Tactics video, and one of the comments is, people are only playing small knights. Let's nerf them. So big knights would be more tempting. But then people may have lay big knights, which I'm assuming means they're not going to use their big knights. Okay, so let's nerf them as well. Problem solved. So it just sounds like they all got nerfed. Looking at the data sheets, they're all like toughness 11, which is really, really low. I'm sure their bigger knights are a bit better. But like war dogs are toughness 9. Yeah, their knight ruinator is toughness 11. Desecrator toughness 11. Despoiler 11. Yeah. Abominant 11. Tyrant is 12. So here's the comment that I really couldn't wait to share with you. I suppose one advantage of lower stats is you can bring knights without telling your opponent beforehand now. Because if they can't deal with toughness 9 and 11, that's on them.
Which brings
us back to knights players are the most insufferable people on the planet.
Oh, hey, you brought Astromid Charm? Oh, you only have one demon with. Oh, okay, I put on my knights today.
Dude, I hate knight players. They're the biggest virgins in the world. I personally know a knight player. And he's one of my closest friends, but not you. Not you. Because didn't you want to play knights?
I will have a knight army at some point when I'm an old man with kids. But, like, I can't. I just think robots are cool, and I like the spiky robots versus the not spiky robots. Sue me. But playing them is a whole other, like, I would never play knights against anybody else. And people, if they're listening to this, are going to eat me alive. I would never play knights against anyone who isn't playing knights, or maybe custodies. But if you take custodies or knights versus virtually any other army in a casual setting, and you don't at least warn the person beforehand so they can respectfully back out of their game with you, you are BMing them. Yeah. You are using bad manners.
I agree.
You bring an army that you are playing either because you think it looks cool or because their rules used to be so busted that nobody could deal with the shit in them.
I would rather play against a
Meta-chase. I'm not bringing Repulsor Executioners. Yeah, I'm not bringing all anti-tank to play your fucking army, dude.
Yeah,
no way.
For real. Like, that's the thing about knight players, though, is that there's two different kinds of knight players. One knight player is, hey, I'm playing knights, and this is the kind of toughness you should expect. The other knight player is, I'll be playing chaos. Here's the thing, right? I'm looking through this stuff. I'm looking at the detachments, and you know what? They don't seem that bad, right? They got four new detachments, right? But
they're just not going to be as OP as they used to be.
Honestly, it's just fine. Good. Who cares?
Yes, which is good. Yes.
At least
but
that
the people
knights
who play
have...
knights dump in two armies worth of money into their army.
That's their fault. Well, you bought into an army that is specifically designed to have high toughness at an extremely, like, points per dollar is flipping obscene for knights and titans. I don't understand people who buy titans either. That's like extreme hobbyist.
Well, again, for my probably third and final, I have Black Templars, World Eaters, and I'll probably finish with Chaos Knights. Like, I want the big robots. I understand why people think those are cool. I do. But there's this huge, at least now it looks like it's getting to a more balanced state. But, like, you call me a pussy, call me whatever. I wouldn't play a game with a Knights player. Because I don't have three Gladiator Lancers. I don't have three Repulsor Executioners. Like, I'm not... I'd like to play a list that I want to play without trying to completely tailor it to my enemy. I like to bring a all comers list and see if I can make it work. Not, you know, oh yeah, everyone's gonna have toughness 12, 20 wounds, you know, strength 12.
Not only that,
56
you can also
inches.
Do allied demons, like, too. Jeez.
So, yeah, I think it's going in the right direction. Imperial Knights are not going to come out until later in the year. It looks like they decided to use the Chaos players as guinea pigs. Rightfully so, I guess.
I'm going to be honest. We went into more depth when talking about other factions, right? We probably not sat down and talked, but on and off spoke about the World Eaters Codex and a lot of their balance changes, especially with the 8-bound, right? And the thing about even the Thousand Suns, we talked about a little bit, but I just don't care about knight players. There's not a lot of them, right? And the ones that you do find are so few and far between. It's more likely to play a Tau player then you already even come across someone who
player.
Who loves Tau players?
I would love to play a Tau player. Just to see a Tau army on the board in person would be cool.
It is rad. A couple people that I play with on a regular basis play Tau. And dude, you do not underestimate them. They do not have a high win percent. But man, in a casual setting, they can hit. Stealth suit combined with... Because stealth suits give a line of sight buff, and then you get an extra one to hit, right? And
what is it? Their marker light?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know because I don't have their codex. I would love to get a Tau army one day. That's army number 5 or something. And that
yeah,
would be
robots
either
are cool.
After Sisters. Yeah, honestly, their mech suits are cool, and they're super deadly. But the Void Dragon walks all over them. from experience. But man, dude, a set of breachers dropping down and just lighting up your units is terrifying. Breachers are solid. Tau breachers are very solid.
You are a bad mannered Necron player. So,
not true.
It's not surprising at all. That kind of gives us a good segue into the deserved nerfs that you got with your points. Finally, they unnerfed the Black Templar points a little bit. But
I think the nerfs are good for some of the Necrons. Some of the nerfs that we did get are good.
Your Locust Destroyers need to be easily 100 points more than they are a pop.
I disagree.
I think you should be able to bring them in the game. I think they should be sent to Legends.
They should be put to Legends. Is insane. I agree with some of the nerfs, but they missed out on some buffs, right? Because what is that tunneling unit for the Tyranids that F has? Is it the Ravener?
The Rippers.
The Rippers?
Ripper Swarm.
No, not the Swarm. It's a different one. I think it's a Ravener, the one that digs underground.
I'm talking about the little tiny guys that are on like a base with four dudes on it.
No, not the. So the Tyranids have a unit. I think it's the Ravener. I believe it is. And it digs underground, and it has a tunneling ability, right? So cheap, like 75 points, and it has way more abilities, right? And it has better attacks, it has better melee, better everything. And our Ophidian Destroyers are 80 points and have no abilities. No nothing. Super weak blades, and they don't do anything, right? They're good for secondaries, don't get me wrong, but the Ophidians are the one unit that really needs to be buffed. Either not giving it any abilities and maybe making them 65 points, I think. But, you know, I'm crazy, and I'm trying to be honest. I do believe that the Lord, the Score Pick Destroyer Lord, needs to be nerfed again. I think it is way too powerful having a 4-up in Vil. In addition,
I'm
with a 4-up
so hard to imagine these units in my head. As a Space Marine Chad, I know Intercessors, Inceptors, Eliminators, sure. Eradicators, Suppressors, Infiltrators.
I know
all that, but I
don't. Like the little spider guys with three legs, and they have the two blades.
Yes, with the big half crescent.
Yeah,
the big crescent blades. Yes,
I know
what you're talking about.
Those guys.
How have you been liking the Thousand Suns,
dude? I nut when I play the Thousand Suns.
Seems like they're a lot better.
Their new unit. You want to talk about their new unit, the Sektar robots?
Yeah, how have they done?
They're all right. I do really like them, but they're so situational. I have the new codex because I waited in line for it, and it's beautiful. The thing about the Sektar robots is that they hit on fours for pretty much everything. Their claws are pretty solid at strength 10, right? But hitting on fours
is good,
rough.
But fours is rough. Well, that's a 50% shot.
Yeah, but they also have stealth, right? They're only 90 points for two, which isn't bad, right? In the codex, it says they were 145 points, which is crazy. So thank God they lowered those points, because 90, I think they should be around 80. I think right now they're still a little too expensive, but their flamers and their Hellfire Missile Wreck is really where they shine, because they get a free Overwatch, right?
Oh, which you can finally do correctly now.
Oh, Tony.
Now, by the way, everybody, the first few games where he and I were playing, he would Overwatch me and be like, oh, yeah, I get to shoot all my guns and they just hit normally. When Overwatch actually works, like, all my guns only hit on a six. So that's why I use flamers, torrent weapons, because you don't have to roll the hit roll. They just automatically hit. But this guy, this cheater.
Yeah.
Would Overwatch every single turn in all his Necron free Overwatch units. Ugh.
I used that ability on the Hexmark. I thought the Hexmark gave an aura.
It's okay.
It was
one of our
Overwatch
first
hit on two ups.
It's not a big deal. I just like giving him shit for it because
fair.
He's a cheater and he did it on purpose.
That's not true.
I'm glad that they're good. That's cool that they have a free Overwatch. I mean, Can you bring a Rubric Marine squad with the majority of them with flamers? Like, don't they already have that role filled?
I think
but
the new way to
90
play...
90 points is a lot cheaper than a Rubric Marine.
Yeah, but you only get two. Three up save, I think, off the top of my head, and then a five up invul. And they're pretty tanky. The sectors are tanky. But I think where they shine is them having infiltrators and being able to take objectives pretty quickly and at the beginning of the game. I mean, all of the skirmish units that most armies have are going to have a lot of trouble taking down the sectars until your main battle line gets up there and starts actually dealing some damage. But I think where they shine is the free heroic intervention stratagem, which is trying to build around, you know, like with having a 10 toughness power claw with three attacks each. If you have a squad of four of them, that's 12 attacks hitting on four ups. And if you can also have Terminator Sorcerer right next to them, giving an aura, having them go extra hits or adding one to the hit roll. That's terrific. In addition, with some of the army rules with Thousand Suns, you can also do your psychic phase. The psychic phase is terrific. I am such a huge fan. I played a game earlier, I think yesterday, and I decided to roll that third die. And I ended up killing my Inspiring Sorcerer, and I ended up putting my Infernal Master at one wound. Because if you don't put your minis in a situation to do great things, they never will.
Yeah, you got to take the risk, for
always.
Sure. I think the heroic intervention strat would be good. You could just bait them with a juicy sorcerer of some type or another. Maybe a forge fiend and fucking have them as like a little bodyguard in the back. Whatever you want, just keep them near the unit.
I love forge fiends, man. I finally got the three plasma forge fiend, and then the Haiti auto cannon. Those, I think, are the meta. The Hades auto cannon. Over the...
Really?
Yeah, of course. I mean, D3 is a little too unreliable for me, right? So you have three ectoplasma cannons, right? All rolling D3s with blast. 10 strength, solid. But what are you really going to encounter, unless you're a knight player, that is above 10 strength in most cases, except for like a dreadnought being 10 strength, right? Or maybe a vindicator being 11 toughness, right? You're not going to encounter a lot. And if you're getting add one to the wound roll with a lot of the Thousand Suns abilities, would you rather be hitting on three D3s or would you rather be hitting on two sixes, right? Like, I'd rather have 12 attacks hitting on threes rather than three D3s hitting on threes. And the toughness is only down to 8.
Pretty good. Yeah. I think the 10 ensures that you are going to melt smaller units if you're able to make advantage of having blast.
Yeah.
Honestly, at that point, I would probably use the mouth as an ectoplasm and have the two Hades on the side.
And that's the way I run it, baby. That's the sexiest way to run it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But I mean, the -3 AP and then the 3 damage for the plasma is pretty nice. It's pretty nice. Most things that go through just kill it. No rolling for a save.
All right. Well, I guess the last thing we should talk about is what we're actually going to read next, but we're going to tentatively plan to read next. We could read Fire Warrior, which is the Tau book. We could read Infinite and Divine, which is your Necron book. If there's a T-Suns book you want to read, we could do that. If there's a Space Wolves book you want to read, because I know you're a furry, we could do that.
That's crazy! That's crazy slander!
Or we could read Sigismund because I love Black Templar books.
All right. I have a coin with me. Right. I have a coin. All right. On heads, we are reading. We're not reading Space Wolves. Get the hell out of here. On heads, we're reading about the Tau, Fire Warrior. And then on tails, we're going to be doing Infinite and the Divine. By the way, we should play Fire Warrior Have you seen that game?
No.
Dude.
Is it on Steam?
I don't know. We should look it up, though.
Oh, my God. Don't ever speak like that again.
All right, I'm flipping.
What are you talking about? Like, is it a 40K game?
Yes, dude. You play as the strongest Tau warrior, Fire Warrior in the 40K universe. You actually kill a Lord of Change by yourself. In canon, you're the most powerful being in the universe.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it's fucking sweet. All right, I'm flipping. I lost it.
Fucking, do you have so much trash in your room?
Oh,
you're like,
no, I got it. What's it say? It says heads. What was heads?
I don't know. I'm just going to say it was Fire Warrior because I want to read that.
Let's read Fire Warrior. That sounds flipping rad. I'm down to read Fire Warrior.
You forgot. You didn't remember it.
No, yeah, but...
I was looking at Tau. I was looking for Fire Warrior on Steam. Fucking...
Well, dude, okay. I think you have to, like, download it off Pirate Bay because it's not anywhere. I think it was an old school console game. Like, maybe on the PS2 or something crazy. It's old. It's old. But, I mean... Is this where we're going to plan on ending it right here?
I think so. I think this is a natural stopping point. It's a good place to wrap it up. Well, so if you have anything else you want to say.
Thank you, everyone, for watching our 40K podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I don't know if it was as informative as it should be, but it's definitely mostly shitposting. So we hope you liked it. And thank you to all the people who keep my lights on and keep me...
Yes. We really appreciate it. You guys are the reason why we get to do GG Voxcast full time. So please make sure you like, comment, and subscribe because all of those things directly take money out of your bank account and put it into ours.
We got to keep getting the books. If you want more 20-minute book reviews, that's how you're going to get it.
And those audiobooks are like $30. So on top of the DoorDash orders and everything else, you know, I got to eat to survive, dental insurance, health insurance, vision, ear and eye. So really appreciate everything you guys do. Please make sure you subscribe to our premium content. And we'll see you next time.